welcome everybody to Capes and Scales. I hope you're excited for another amazing episode.
It's the most action-packed podcast on the interwebs. The most impressive part about all of this is that he's actually doing it. It's not like he's making noises with his mouth. The room we're in is destroyed.
Sorry, buddy.
It looks like the mixer's still working, so you did a good job shooting around all that.
I know what I'm doing.
Not
I'm
bad.
A crazy destructive person.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
I'm tired. That was exhaustive.
That was a lot of heavy equipment you just used. So understandable. So I'll get us started while you take a quick breather. The movie I watched this time, and I spoiled it last time, and I didn't write it down, but it's not hard to remember. It's Hatchet 3, the third in the Hatchet series. I'd say the last in the Hatchet series, but he did a fourth one. It's called Victor Crowley.
Oh, the hatcheting.
Yeah, it came out in 2013. I watched it perhaps in May. Who the hell knows? It's 1 hour and 22 minutes long and is a horror slasher like the last one. It was directed not by Adam Green this time, though he did write this one. It was directed by their A-cam operator, BJ McDonald. This time it stars Danielle Harris again, Kane Hodder again. This time we substitute the Tony Todd with Derek Mears just for casting purposes, but Tony Todd dies. He dies in this one.
Aww.
So he's in it though. So you get to see him.
Yay!
Or is that a lie? And he dies in the second one. That's been a minute.
Tony Todd's great.
He's great. But he shows up minimally in flashbacks in this one. He's in
all
of them.
Does he have bees coming out of his mouth?
No, unfortunately he does not. I mean, Candyman's great. When's the last time you watched Candyman?
I didn't, but I watched a video where they said that he got paid like $1,000 for every time a bee stung him. He had some crazy deal.
Yeah.
And he got paid a lot.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I'll let you put real bees in my mouth, but you got to compensate me if they sting me.
Candyman is so good. It is such a good and unique horror movie. I mean, I'm hoping I watch it. I think I watched it. I have to look at my list again. But man, I hope I did so I can talk about it.
I think I had it on VHS, so I don't think I have it anymore. I oddly have the third one on DVD somewhere.
Is that Farewell to the Flesh?
Yes. Yes.
They did a great collector's edition. I believe that was, and I don't believe it is. In fact, our favorite, Shout Factory.
Ooh!
Scream Factory specifically.
Ooh.
Yeah, they did an amazing collector's edition of it that you should definitely check out.
Shout Factory, I haven't shouted you out in a while, and I'm very sorry.
Yeah.
I still love you. We can still see each other on the side. It's
good.
Totally cool. It's copacetic.
That's a good deal. They'll take the snakes out of your house.
Mm-hmm. That's the one where the mural that I painted for Follow That Bird is.
Yeah.
I think I've tied everything together now, right?
Yep.
Everybody thinking about all of our things?
Yeah.
Perfect.
So, this movie, Hatchet 3, is about Mary Beth, who finally has a way to take away and end the curse of Victor Crowley. But will it work?
No,
probably not. So the bullet point thoughts on this movie that I have, because that's what Tim writes, bullet point thoughts on the movie. I don't do bullet points. Do you notice that?
I did notice that.
I don't ever do bullet points.
That's cool.
I think you're just thinking bullets.
I just looked at my bullet points for the next one. It's pretty funny.
You're an action guy, so you're just thinking bullets.
Bullets!
He's got another gun. Mixer still looks like it's working. Good job.
Zap.
Ouch. So my notes on this are, I think it's the best shot and best looking of the Hatchet movie so far. The makeup on Victor Crowley at this point is pretty awesome. There's a lot of movement to it. It looks really good. There's no real empathy for a lot of the characters outside of Mary Beth, but she's kind of diverted and there's almost like an A and B plot going on simultaneously that I don't really think works all that well. The shtick is they're trying to get Victor Crowley's father's ashes and put the ashes back with Victor Crowley, and that will satisfy him.
It's a weird plot.
Yeah, because he's like a swamp ghost that is physical and can kill people. So basically, you can do whatever you want to him that night, but he'll return again the next night. So it's like you can kill him over and over again if you really want to.
That's
which I think
fun.
Is a cool setup.
Yeah, no.
But I don't think he's ever done enough to really pay off. Like, that concept is really interesting.
Hmm.
I mean, Victor Crowley is... I'll get into that at some point, I'm sure, because I'm sure I'll rewatch it. But I think... he could do a lot with that if you really set it up right. But Derek Mears is in this. He's great. If you're not familiar with Derek Mears, he's Swamp Thing in the Swamp Thing that they did on DC Direct.
Yeah, Swamp Thing.
He's great, and he plays this kind of SWAT team leader who thinks he's really great. I mean, everybody's a lot of fun in this movie. It's just not a lot of characters to really connect with. And, the separate plots kind of don't work super well. But Zach Galligan's in this movie from Gremlins. He's a lot of fun. I mean, the movie's fun. It's a good time. You're not going to be sad you watched it if you're into this kind of thing. And you know exactly what you're signing up for when you're like, I'm going to watch this. It's gory. It's goofy. There's a lot of comedy. There's a lot of tons and tons of blood. There's a huge explosion in this movie.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's huge. It is really impressive. It's funny because they had three cameras on it and a bunch of GoPros they stuck around just in case. They blew all three main cameras with the explosions. They had to use GoPro footage.
That's funny.
To do the final bit because they blew all three of their cameras.
That's so funny.
Yeah. The explosions are real dangerous, so be careful with those.
Who knew?
Not you, because you just keep blowing stuff up. You got to really be careful with that.
I like the breeze.
Makes me feel fine?
Makes me feel fine.
IMDb gave this a 5.6 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes gave this a 57%, so higher than the previous one. Audience gave it 39%. Slightly higher than the last one. I gave it a 5.5. Okay. So slightly worse than Hatchet 2, in my opinion, because there's just not quite as much to hold on to. But visually mostly, effects-wise. I was going to say visually and effects, but those are also not visual effects, not like special effects, but right. Actual makeup effects are pretty darn cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's fun.
That's
Gwar on the soundtrack, hard to argue.
Oh, man.
Love Gwar.
I love Gwar, too.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Hell yeah. Hells to the yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I watched an anime. I haven't done an anime.
I thought you were just going to stop at me. So you're like, I watched me. I gave it a 5.5 out of 10.
Could have tried harder.
It was all right, but wouldn't necessarily watch it again.
So this was a little tough for me to give you the IMDb minutes for a couple reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Because this anime, I didn't write the year. The year was like 1985.
Okay.
So an older anime.
So much like your ninja scrolling.
Correct.
Okay.
But even deeper. I watched Area 88.
Okay. I've never seen Area 88.
So it was released as three OVAs, as anime used to come on a VHS, and the two, Act 1 and 2 of the OVA series pretty much equals the first movie, and the third one equals the second movie. So my time for it is 3 hours 20 minutes, but that's not accurate. It's closer to 2 hours for the two OVAs together.
Okay.
It's called Area 88, The Blue Skies of Betrayal, which you can find on DVD.
Nice.
I watched this the 17th of May. Animation, action, drama. I don't know who directed it. I actually couldn't find it. And I didn't have the physical copy in front of me. Starring David Bourne, Brian Bright, and Jack Cardwell. A pilot must try to survive with his humanity when he is shanghaied into a mercenary jet fighter force. Do you recall a game on the Super Nintendo called UN Squadron?
Yes.
It was a side-scroller shoot 'em up.
Yep.
That is Area 88.
Okay.
I loved UN Squadron.
Okay.
It is stupid hard, and I played it until my muscle memory allowed me to beat it.
Nice.
And I can't do it again. I've tried. but Area 88 is what it's called in Japan and most everywhere else.
Okay.
They called it UN Squadron for us dummies. But this is an insanely depressing anime. Your main character, Shin, he is taken away to like fight in a foreign legion, and like all the other characters are super out for themselves. They're all total dicks to him, and he's like, I just want to like die. I want to get out of here. I can't do this anymore. And he's great. He's a great pilot.
Yeah.
And he's like, how many more people do I have to kill to earn enough credit to buy my freedom out of here? And it's like this whole, it's so, and it's based in reality. These are real things that can happen. It's so incredibly depressing. Like, I was like, yeah, I love UN Squadron. I want to see these characters on the screen. There's three characters you play in the game. You mostly just follow him, although the other two show up in passing.
Yeah.
And it's just so incredibly depressing.
Hmm.
So depressing. And what's funny is, and this was recommended because Chris Headley, who works at the comic book store, 30 North Main Street, Glassboro, New Jersey, is also a huge UN Squadron fan.
Nice.
That we bonded over. There's actually a comic series, which I found and bought all of.
Nice.
I've not had time to read it. It's like 40 issues.
Holy shit.
Yeah, no. It was a sweet deal. I had to buy it. But he was like, yeah, I watched, because I was like, Area 88 is what it's called. There's anime for it. So he watched it as well. He went farther. He watched the third part. He goes, it takes a drastic turn in the third part. I go, what do you mean? Is it still depressing as fuck? And he's like, no, it's more like, man, shooting people with my bros is cool. I'm like, wait a minute. So I do want to watch it, but it definitely turned me off to where I'm like, I don't know that I need to finish this right now.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So it takes this drastic turn, but it's good.
Okay.
And if you love UN Squadron and you're like me, you had no idea it was this other property and under a different name, because I was pumped. I'm like, a comic book 40 issues, totally in.
Yeah.
If you can find them. That's the hard part. But UN Squadron is a great game. It's definitely one of those ones that flew under the radar. No, I'm not making a joke. And yeah, my bullet point for this is fucking sad.
Okay.
This is fucking sad. But I think it's a good thing to watch. And there is a little bit of odd racial things that happen.
Sure.
Because A, it's anime. And Japan,
it came out in the 80s.
And it came out in the 80s. Yeah. Japan don't care. Plus yeah. the 80s. Mm-hmm. So IMDb gave it a 7.8.
Mm-hmm.
No critic score, no audience score.
Okay.
This thing's not super easy to find.
Right.
I gave it a 6.0.
Okay.
I think it's super cool. I'm more of a fan of it, so you might be more in the 5.5 range.
Sure.
But I loved it. I love that it was sad. I like that it was sad.
Sure.
I like it wasn't just like, yeah, blowing shit up is right. fun, which I know goes against every sound effect I've made prior.
Correct.
But yeah, if you just check it out, if you remember UN Squadron, get on it, people.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Deep cuts with Tim.
Oh, yeah.
So I watched not a deep cut.
All right, what you got?
1985, but apparently a year
Whoa!
I just keep watching movies in.
That's what I watched.
Return of the Living Dead wasn't the only movie that came out in 1985 that was a zombie movie. George A. Romero wasn't going to let that stand.
No, of course
He
not.
Came out with Day of the Dead.
Yep.
So I watched this in May, sure.
Sure did.
It's 1 hour and 45 minutes. It is a horror zombie movie. It was directed by George A. Romero. It mm-hmm. stars Laura Cardilli, I guess? Cardille? I don't know. Joseph Pilato, who recently passed away, unfortunately.
Oh,
and the now, like, director extraordinaire, Greg Nicotero.
Yeah, man. He's really doing
a
name for himself.
Absolutely. Summary's pretty simple. It's a group of scientists and militants attempt to survive the zombie outbreak in an underground facility. This movie is fucking great. And I really have a tough time. I think so. I know this is an unpopular opinion.
That's
but
fine.
I think my order for the Of the Living Deads, or, you know, like this is Day of the Dead.
Right.
And Dawn of the Dead. But I think of that those three movies, I think it goes for me. Night of the Living Dead, Day of the Dead, and then Dawn of the Dead. And I know a lot of people prefer Dawn of the Dead over everything.
I do.
I love Dawn of the Dead. I think watching this kind of swayed me back towards liking Day of the Dead more.
I would like to rewatch them because I wonder if I would still love Dawn of
yeah.
the Dead. Dawn of the Dead has more memorable...
Dawn of the Dead, I feel like, is the one you watch and you're just like, this would be fucking rad because you're in a mall and
right.
it's early into the zombie outbreak and you're like, I want to, like, I fuck some zombies up if I had access to enough shit. And mm-hmm. they kind of do, and then you kind of like, it's like having a treehouse when you're a kid, right? Like,
right.
Do whatever I want, put whatever I want in there. Kind of that feeling. Day of the Dead is so fucking bleak. It's depressing. It feels hopeless. I love that he really took time and made like this really desaturated color palette. Everything is earth tones or gray tones. It all feels really fucking bad. Mm-hmm. Like the fact he thought enough to be like, let's really pull back and not make it bright and vibrant. Let's really make it kind of dark and gross is great. The performances, especially Joseph Pilato, does a great job. Is so fucking good. I'm running this monkey farm, Frankenstein. One of my favorite lines of all time. It's just
monkey farms.
Yes, it's great. His and when he gets killed, his death scene where they fucking rip him in half and the zombies are eating him and he's just like, choke on him. It's like, oh my God, this is so good. It's so like, it's just, you want, like, it's hard. Like, you do get Laurie's character is really good and she kind of gives you someone to actually sympathize with and you like you want her to succeed, so it's not just bleak and hopeless completely. There's some light at the end of the tunnel. I kicked the table.
Your face.
Light
at the end of the table.
Yeah, Tim destroyed the whole room with various machine guns, and here I am kicking the table.
You're the one doing the damage.
I am. I think it's really good. It's really depressing. The effects are fucking nuts. Savini really hit a stride here, but obviously he had, you know what I mean, a bunch of up-and-coming, really heavy effects talent. Nicotero, Berger worked on this film. So, I mean, these dudes are powerhouses at this point. Overall, I think it's a super successful movie. The soundtrack's great. I mean, there's just so little I can say that's negative about this movie.
Is Guar on the soundtrack?
It's not, unfortunately. It's probably the only negative. No Guar. It's Guarless.
Guarless?
It's Guarless.
Can't imagine a life like that.
IMDb gives us a 7.2 out of 10. Rotten Tomato critics score 83%. It's 36 critics. Audience gives it a 75%. And I blow them all out of the water with my powerful 8.5 out of 10.
That just proves that everybody needs to like the podcast on iTunes and give us a review so we can get Rotten Tomatoes status so Max can raise the Day of the Dead.
Yeah, I mean, really, it would just be good to have that. I'd love to review movies.
I know, it's great.
I love talking movies.
That's what we do.
Yeah, talking to Tim, talking movies.
Talking movies.
Whew. Good stuff.
And then they can be like, they thought what? And they can listen to the audio. It's archived.
Yeah.
It's there for posterity. Yeah.
I can jump on and give Killer Waves a 0%, so it has a 0% critical rating.
Oh my God, that'd be great.
Oh, it's just so, oh.
I guess we have to share do we share it? Do we each get our own critic thing?
Well, maybe we're just Tapes and Scowls, right? Like, they don't know who we are. Who the fuck is Tapes and Scowls? It's not even a dude. Like, you don't even fucking know us.
You don't know TAS.
That's right.
All right, I'll take this donkey show home.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Your wife's going to be real upset, but sure.
She loves animals. That's weird. So, you remember? My favorite part is saying awful shit and then leaving it playing for my wife to hear.
Yeah.
There was a really good thing an episode or two ago that you said, and it sounded like you said it so quick, you weren't saying it about my wife, but something I said made it sound like you might have been.
I see.
And it was so hilarious, and I laughed, and then I realized what you really meant, but it was just too good. I was like, ooh, Max getting by all over here.
Sorry, Tim wife.
She don't care. She don't listen. I love you, baby. Anyways, this movie is awful. I'm going to tell you that right from the beginning. This is me going down that rabbit hole again of a movie named something it shouldn't be.
Okay.
This is the 13th Friday.
Okay.
It's so bad.
It is.
This is from 2017. What is this, making a comeback? Jesus Christ. I watched this on the 18th of May.
Whoa,
fine. He hates it, too.
All right.
He's allowed to hate.
Remember
that time he got mad in the temple and he was turning everything over?
Yeah, we weren't supposed to bring that up, though.
Well, everybody's allowed to have a bad day, is all I'm saying.
All right.
This is IMDb Minutes, 1 hour, 35 minutes, genre horror thriller, directed by Justin Price, starring Lisa May, a guy who's just named Koo, and Melissa Elvega. Honestly, I think that's the best part. I don't think it's going to get any better.
Oh, that's all right. That's pretty good.
Yeah. I have a real problem with this description. Thrill-seeking friends return to the place of the most terrifying killer. That's the whole thing.
Okay, good.
I literally wrote fuck that description next to it and put an arrow pointing at
it. This is like my Killer Waves description.
So I didn't get confused.
Good
this movie's not good, but at least give it a correct description. Basically, so the idea of this movie is good, and everything after that is awful.
Okay.
Like, they set it up, and I'm like, oh, this might actually be good. And then that was shattered.
Okay.
What it is a
they
bunch of...
They gave you some hope, and then ripped it
away. They gave you hope, and then forgot all about filmmaking, storytelling.
Sure.
You know, the basics.
No, I've never heard of those.
Also, this is not really a Friday the 13th clone at all. It's actually closer to Hellraiser.
Huh.
Because it's got like a weird, not a puzzle box, but it's got like a weird music box kind of thing going on. Basically, what it is a bunch of college age kids that go to some house for some reason. They're getting drunk, they're partying, whatever. They go inside. Now, they show you this monster in this house immediately, this demonic thing. And it possesses one of the girls, and it fucks everyone up, and it says, and it kills one person. And then it's like, you got to come back here every year and give me, like, a soul or something, or I'm going to kill all you fuckers. Like, you got to come back. I'm like, that's a great idea.
That
was
a cool idea.
You show me the big bad immediately.
Yeah.
And you have to come pay homage to it.
That's interesting.
So the whole movie is them not getting along. Do they turn on each other? At what point does this stop? Does it stop after the 13th time they do it?
Huh.
All this other lame shit. Visually, it's great.
All this other lame shit.
All this other lame shit. Some of the character design was good. Some of the costume design was really good. Probably the best part is the costume design on some of the characters. The effects aren't great, but like I like what they went for. Basically, somebody buy this script and rewrite it and turn it into like a book or something that it'll do good. Because this is just fucking garbage.
Bip.
So, IMDb gave it a 3.0. Rotten Tomatoes, both their critics and their audience, refused to watch it. I gave it a 2.
How did you watch this? Was this on a streaming service?
Amazon. This was Amazon.
Okay.
Yeah. I went on a tear of Amazon because I'm like, what? All these movies have silly names. Blah, blah, blah. In the queue. Manborg was... the problem was Manborg. Hitting Manborg so early really got my hopes up.
I believe you said that in the episode, too, where you're just like, this really set me up for a lot of failure.
And this is what I was talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not great, people. So follow your heart and watch good movies.
Please.
Like Manborg. Do it now. Meg.